Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, welcome to episode number 81 of the Vex on Vex podcast. My name is VexX, along with today's guest and co-host, Billadelphia.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, everyone. How are you, Billadelphia?
I am just lovely.
Are you living the dream, sir?
Living the dream.
So we got our ad copy all written up for our first fucking time ever for the commercial.
Gonna do it right
this time. No, not right now. We're gonna talk for a few minutes and get cooking. Then we're gonna go to the Facebook Live. I'll read the commercial, boozdy boozdy bop, and we'll continue along. Of episode number 81 of the Vex on Vex podcast. Now, we were discussing things previously, which we always do, unfortunately, off microphone. Remember the 90s?
I miss the 90s so goddamn much.
Now, let's discuss the logistics of that. Do you technically miss the 90s or being in your 20s?
No, I don't care if I'm this age in the 90s. I just feel so out of place this day and age. I wish I woke up and it was 1995. I'd feel so much better.
Really?
Yeah, I could be 46 and 95. I don't care. I would just be more comfortable.
Why? Explain.
I just feel out of place in this day and age. I can't pinpoint it. It just feels like everything passed me by.
Really?
I'm so comfortable with what everything was in the 90s, and it's just a different world now. I kind of hate it.
I'm reminded of a conversation I had with someone in the late 90s when I was 23 years old, roughly. I had purchased what was my first home in Port Richmond, affectionately referred to as the Band House. You might remember that.
Yes, I do.
And I had to get a job because you got to pay this fucking mortgage and pay the electric bill and all that good stuff, right? So I remember going to a job. It was a thing they wanted, like, somebody to handle their advertising in their office setting. And I didn't know anything about fucking advertising. I was like a punk rock kid. And I went and I was like, hello, how are you? They're like, oh, are you online? I'm like, I'm totally online. Which I had never I had never been online before that. Like, I just hadn't. I'm like, yeah, I surf the net. It's cool. They're like, oh, then you'll be fine. And they hire me. And I don't know anything. And right when they hire me, the guy working on the loading dock hurts himself. And they're like, listen, we know we hired you to work in the office and we're paying you X amount of dollars an hour, which was a pretty good clip at the time. And they were like, but would you mind, please, if you just came back from lunch and put on your jeans and we put you out on the loading dock? And in my head, I'm like, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, thank you. So I got on the loading dock and I love it. Like, trucks pull up, we unload the truck, and then when there's no trucks, Philadelphia, we would just sit there and chill.
You're just waiting.
And they're paying you, right? So I'm like, I could work out here. And there were these two brothers. The guy who ran the loading dock was obviously the smarter of the two brothers. Okay. And I'm going to say they were like mid to late 30s at the time, which even now I say this, that back then they were old men to me. Like, they were old. Yeah. Like, if you're 38 in 1990 fucking seven, you're like ancient to me, right?
Oh, yeah.
But you're not that old, you know? But to me, you're ancient. So I'm sitting there and I would doodle during when we weren't working, and I would be working on song lyrics. And I'm sorry, I'll go back to the beginning. So the brother's the manager, and he has a wife, and he has a kid, and a life, and he runs it. And his brother, his younger brother, who's like a year younger than him, drives the forklift, but that guy lives at home. He has no bills. He just lives with his parents in the same bedroom he fucking grew up in, and he's like 38 years old or 35 years old or whatever.
That's depressing.
Not depressing, but he's that guy, right? And he gripped me up one day, and I don't know, like, we were just talking. He's like, yeah, man, I just like, you know, like Knight Rider and like all these references from the 80s. And like, he's like, I just like clothes from the 80s and music from the 80s. And I was like, what's wrong with you? I will never be like that. And he's like, dude, it's going to happen to you that you're going to look around and be like, I just liked it better in the 90s, you know? And I'm like, no, man. He's like, no, listen, you don't believe me, but it's going to happen. And then when you said those words, it reminded me of that guy.
It happened.
I don't feel that way at all.
Well, that's good. You're lucky.
I don't know if I'm lucky. I just don't see. Like, think about the fact, for instance, we're on a podcast.
Yes.
This didn't exist in the 90s.
No.
I'm going to hold up a fucking computer in my hand, an Apple iPhone. We couldn't even fathom. I couldn't fathom that in 2009.
No.
Let alone in the 90s. You know what I mean?
Fair enough.
So technology has grown with leaps and bounds.
My music still sounds like it's from the 90s.
People tell me that too, the same thing. I don't care. I like my music,
yeah.
And I like your music specifically. Hey. So if it's dated, that's okay. If you stick around long enough, then you're nostalgic and you're cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't knock that, but I embrace the changes as well, though. Like, I don't know. I was so broke in the 90s. Like, bro.
Amen.
Dust in my pockets broke. Like, broke. And I am not broke in this day and age. And it's a comfortable feeling. Like, I get up, all the bills are paid. I have a nice big house. I'm in a nice big bed. Like, things are good. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, I think of, like, Homer Simpson and Milhouse's dad was like, I sleep in a race car bed. What do you sleep in, Homer? And he's like, I sleep in a giant bed with my wife, loser. Like, my God. I'm like, yeah, I can't keep the wife, but I have the giant bed.
One out of two ain't bad.
And, like, I remember, okay, this is how you know I'm going through my official midlife crisis. Not that this is about me. This is about you, but we're going to go off on a tangent. In typical
tangent fashion. Time.
If you look around my house, it's a lot like a 14-year-old kid from 1991
yes.
fucking decorated it. There's Star Wars memorabilia. There's guitars on the wall. There's an entire room with Marshall full stacks. Several. Not one full stack. Several full stacks. Dude, who has a fucking full setup functioning drum kit in their front living room?
It reminds me of Step Brothers movie set.
Well, no, because in Step Brothers, the parents had class and dignity and grace and all that good stuff.
But they had so much room for activities.
Oh, so much room. Then the fucking beds collapsed. Why'd you let us do this? Ow. He's like, it's a flesh wound. You'll be fine. He's like, I'm bleeding. He's really hurt. I love that fucking movie. It was so good. My second wife made me go see it in a drive-in theater when it came out. And I was so mad because I hated it. I hated the drive-in. I just hated being there. It was bad. And then I didn't comprehend how great the movie was. And then it was on cable. And I was like, oh my God, it's so good. And
oh, it's great.
Now, my third marriage, every Christmas, we would watch it. Every Christmas, we'd watch Step Brothers. Yeah. Well, now we're divorced. So, haha. Yeah. But, you know, back in the day when we were not divorced. So, here's the thing. If you were 46 years old in 1995, like you're saying, you would herald back to the 80s. You'd herald back to the 70s. You wouldn't even appreciate the 90s.
I just wish I could, like, I don't know, one of those movies where you just, you know, back in the future, you know, you just end up in that era. I'd stay there.
I don't know, man.
Like, I mean, with my bank account, my current bank account.
No, you wouldn't even need that. If I have the knowledge who's going to win the next few Super Bowls and the next few World Series, which you'd have.
Oh, yeah. Make some money.
That's it. You don't need any bank account at all. You can go
just
fucking.
Need a reputable bookie.
For real. You could buy Yahoo stock. You could buy Google stock. Apple stock in '95 was in the toilet.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
but I feel it coming, guys. Jump on the train with me. You'd be a god.
But I in '95, and then I was so, like, not comfortable in my own skin, and I was awkward, and I think back to the 90s.
I'm still awkward.
Dude, I'm going to tell you what I did this morning. My friend posted, like, 1 o'clock this morning, a Marilyn Manson video. From the Antichrist Superstar record, which is like 96, right?
Yeah.
But I remember the first video for Lunchbox. And I wanted to, so I went and I watched it on YouTube because my friend had posted this. So I was like kind of nostalgic. And to see Manson or Brian Warner before he makes the transformation, his hair is long and black, but he still has eyebrows. He's not wearing a lot of makeup. If the Lunchbox video, for real, if you go back and look at it, they look like a normal band. They don't look bizarre. They're not weird. They're nothing. They're just like, you know, and here's the reason of this story. There were really, really, really attractive little goth girls who were obsessed with Manson at the time.
Oh, yes.
Obsessed to the point where I wasn't a Manson fan per se, and I went to see him at the Factory because every hot chick we knew was going to that fucking concert.
What was it, that show?
So we all were, I think. It was like the one. And then he came out, and he was on these giant, like, claw-looking things under his feet, like a dinosaur or something. And I watched him off side stage with the roadies hooking him up to the apparatus. And I was like, oh, it's a show. He's not really cray cray. All these bitches in this, like, in this section, these girls I want to have sex with think he's crazy. He's not crazy. He's a fucking showman. I'm watching him prepare. And I'm like, it's just like the same shit that we do.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, oh, I get it. Because the rumors, there's no internet back then. They were like, dude, he kills animals on stage.
Persona.
He like fucked a chick on tour last week on stage. Like, you know, it just fucking was a band.
Yeah. Not everybody had those AOL dial-up discs, you know? Like, remember those? You'd hoard them. Like, I got to get back online.
I remember hoarding those discs for free X amount of free minutes and shit. I remember that. I don't know. All right, bear with us. We're going to do this live thing right here.
Video.
I'm telling you, this is our paid advertisement. Give us a second for this to kick in if you can. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 81 of the Vex on Vex podcast. Today's guest is Billadelphia.
Hola.
Hola, Billadelphia. We are going to read the copy for our first... This is the first sponsor for the Vex on Vex podcast. We're really excited, right? So ladies and gentlemen, bear with me. The Audio Alley, located on West Jersey Avenue in Pittman, New Jersey, is now expanded. Big Lou, who still owns this lovely up-and-coming recording facility, has expanded. He's taken on a few partners. If you want to record, if you want your band to sound fantastic, try the Audio Alley in Pittman, New Jersey. Their phone number is 856-982-7955. And tell them Vex and Vex, I'm sorry, the Vex on Vex podcast sent you. Just tell them Vex sent you. Me or Philadelphia, one or the other. Say hi, Philadelphia.
Hey, how you doing?
Now, can you everybody see yourself on the screen?
Yes, I can.
Because sometimes I fuck that up. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I usually pop in, pop out. Hey, how you doing? There you
go. Hey, David Helen. Hey, David Helen. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you are listening to the Vex on Vex podcast, please give the Audio Alley on West Jersey Avenue in Pittman, New Jersey, your business for making fantastic recordings for your rock and roll in the 2021 era. Big Lou has expanded, and the phone number again is 856-982-7955. And that was our successful ad.
Still no dead bodies.
Oh. Now with 50% less dead hookers. Did you guys ever see the movie Dirty Work? Because Philadelphia and I have seen the movie Dirty Work. And
classic. Watch it now. That's your homework.
Artie Lang, dude, got his fucking start. Excellent ad motion. What a voice. Oh, Andy, thank you. Get me ad copy work, young lady. Isn't that what you do for a living? Again, check out Audio Alley. All right, Philadelphia, back to it. We were discussing the 90s.
The 90s.
I don't know. Philadelphia has advised me that he wants to return to the 90s, even in his current form, and just live out his life in the 90s.
I get sexier every day. I can't regress.
All right, there was a lot more pubic hair in 1995 than there is in 2021, I can tell you that.
Bring a machete.
I'm not a fan of the pubes. But then in the 90s, I definitely had a mouthful of fucking pubes. I was just like, oh, I'm okay down here, don't worry.
Nature's dental floss.
Nature's dental, oh my God. How many times did you swallow hair in the 90s? Because I definitely did. But see, no, you got a giant fucking beard right now. Like, look at your face. Look at your face. You got to swallow hair constantly. Like, that's got to be your thing, right? No?
Always keep a bottle of water with you.
I don't know what that means. What does that mean? It's a fucking hairy face.
Gone.
I'm not a beard guy.
Swallow a hair?
Because I've been face deep on a young lady in the 90s. Hair everywhere, because that's what it was. That was the fashion of the day. No. And it would get stuck back there, and it's like phlegm and fucking... Oh, I hated it. I'm not going to pick up the hair. No, because I... Oh, my God.
Okay. PTSD time. Let's take a step back.
All right. Here's a fucked up Vex on Vex story for the fucking live on fucking episode 81. All right. I had a girlfriend. Of course I had a girlfriend. And of course I was cheating on her because I was a kid. You know what I'm saying? So I was not 21 years old. I was still 20 and I couldn't get into bars. So I became a regular at the Last Drop Coffee House right near the neighborhood. It's still there. I mean, I don't know in Rona, but it was 12th and Pine, I believe, is the intersection. I spent a lot of time there. So I was writing the next The Broken, that's the band we were in, record, writing the lyrics. And I would go there and I'd get a cup of coffee. I didn't even like coffee, but I liked the environment. It was like you felt adultish. And especially in the 90s, like coffee houses were where it was at. That was the rage. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I remember the Last Drop. I was there a few times.
There was a guy who had attended the Mosh for AIDS concert. His name was Mike. Very nice guy. And he's like, hey, Vex, I saw you at the Mosh for AIDS, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, that's cool. And he brought me over to, like, meet his friends. And he had, like, a little pseudo-girlfriend there. And she was thick, but she was very pretty, like this goth girl. But she wasn't thin, but she wasn't fat. She was cute. We're all, like, 19, 20 years old.
Thickums.
And she had a fucking apartment. And I did not. That was so advanced for me. All my money went into fucking music gear and my awful car back then. I guess it's the same, actually. A lot of things. But I have a house this time. But back then, I didn't. So I'm hanging out with these people for a good month. And one night, Mike's not there. And we would meet like every Monday or Tuesday night. I'm going to say Monday night. That was our time. We'd meet Monday night and just hang out till close. And we just did this. And at close, the people who were 21 would go across the street to the bar, and we couldn't. And this chick was like, oh, will you walk me home? And I know what that means. My penis knows. And I'm like, yes, I will walk you home. So I go with her. It's still... We fornicate. I used a condom because it's, you know, woo, it's the 90s. AIDS is going to kill you. You know, it didn't, by the way, but it was coming. So I get done and now I have to go into the bathroom to like clean up, right? This is fucked up. Now, this is the gut-wrenching story. I'm cheating on my girlfriend. I can't stress this enough. I go into the bathroom and it's really small because she had like a little like college person apartment. It was really small.
Studio.
The bathroom was like a closet, and I'm in the closet and I get this condom thing off and I'm like going to wash my dick in the sink because I did a lot of that in the 90s, washing my dick in the sink. And at the base of my penis, I saw something.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, oh my God, she gave me crabs. And my stomach drops. And I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to do? I don't know what to do. Where do you get the shampoo? It wasn't crabs. It was a fuzzy from her underwear. And I just clipped it all. And I felt like a piece of shit. I was like, oh my God, I'm so scummy. And then I was washing my dick and I got dressed like, I gotta go. And if you remember, coming home from the Mosh Raids, I had crashed my car.
Yeah.
So I was on the fucking L at this time in my life, the elevated train and yes. The bus with my monthly bus pass. So yeah, that's my revealing story for episode number 81 of the Vex on Vex podcast. So we're going to wrap up the Facebook Live. Thank you for listening. Again, please patronize the Audio Alley in Pittman, New Jersey. Big Lou has expanded the business. They're recording. Everything sounds fantastic. New equipment, bigger rooms, a fun, groovy environment. Their number again is 856-982-7955. Thank you for watching episode 81 of the Vex on Vex podcast. Stay frosty. All right, we're off.
Very good. Very good. Look at that. That was professional. I still have
a chance. So we were discussing doing like a soundboard, right? We were going to do that shit for the fucking show. And you were like, is this the iPad that Paul gave you? Dude, Paul fucked me over. Like Paul says, he looks me in the faces at practice. He's like, actually it wasn't me. It was the whole band. He's like, yeah, I got an iPad. I got it free with my cell phone service, you know? And I don't want to use it. And I watched Ivor, the guitar player's eyes light up and fixate. And I raised my hand. I'm like, Paul, I would like the iPad, please. He's like, it's just in a drawer, dude. I don't even use it. And I'm like, go ahead.
Let me correct you. It was in the car. I was in the back seat. And I said, I would like it. And then he said, I'll give it to Vex.
But then at practice, I'm telling you, Ivor tried to get the fucking thing. This happened. So he never gave it to me.
So I still have a chance.
He's not going to give it to you. He's like, I'm going to try to record with it. And I was like, Paul, iPads don't have inputs. There's nowhere to plug in a fucking audio anything.
Well, as long as he doesn't know about the input devices.
Well, I think he does. Or he claims he does. Here's the thing. I love Paul. He don't know shit.
He's not a technical type guy.
He's the one to give away his free fucking iPad. So there's my old busted iPad. It's not busted. It's just really old. It's an old iPad.
I have to buy an iPad.
It's right there. Use it for your soundboard. And I used it for the Johnny Zero program, the TV Dads Wrestling.
Oh, nice.
We had a bell, ding, 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 and all that shit for the wrestling. That was our soundboard. It was my old iPad. It's a good time.
Nice.
Bob Lazar.
Bob Lazar.
Bob Lazar.
NASA employee?
Well.
Question mark?
Question mark. All right. For those not listening, Bob Lazar appears on the Joe Rogan podcast 5 months ago?
I believe so.
4 months ago in that region? It was before Joe moved, so it was the old location in Los Angeles. Maybe it's even a year, actually. It could be a year by now.
It was a while ago.
And Bob Lazar comes on, and they made an entire documentary about him that's on Netflix.
Awesome.
And I can't think of his name. Who's the guy who did the voiceover in the thing? Oh, I can see his face in my mind. Okay, let's think of some movies. Iron Man 2, who's the villain? In the film The Wrestler, who's Mickey Rourke.
Mickey Rourke.
Oh, yeah. So that's how you know you're old.
I completely forgot his name.
That's how you know what it's like when you're old. So yes, Mickey Rourke does like the voiceover work in the fucking documentary. All right, so if you don't know, Google Bob Lazar. You'll see a whole story. But if you do know, keep listening because we're going to discuss this. What are your thoughts on Bob Lazar, William?
He comes off as a likable guy, a believable person, lovely, if you will.
Oh, fucking, I have to make a lovely free program just once.
It's trying to make a catchphrase here. You're making it really hard on me, okay, pal? All right, let me just do my sidekick duties here.
Yes, sir.
So, no, I mean, he presents a compelling case of alien life and technology that, you know, America's gained use of with the speed in which technology advanced, basically built off of alien technology. And NASA kind of says, we're not, you know, he really wasn't an employee with us. So there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, but...
Well, there's a whole thing. He makes his first television network appearance in the 1980s. I believe it's 89. And when he first appears on television, he masks who he is. Like, he's behind, like, the screen. They're like, we don't know who this person is. And he's talking. Yeah. And he says, I worked at Area... It wasn't 51. It was the other one. It's not Area 51.
Yeah.
It's some other thing. And I should know the name. And I don't know the fucking name. And I apologize. But he worked there. He made it very clear. Did not work at Area 51. And he said, there were like 9 crafts they had like recovered. They don't know. He doesn't know how they recovered them. They didn't tell him anything. It was all segmented. You know what I mean? Like decompartmentalized, it's called. So no one knew anything. Left, right hand didn't know what, left hand didn't know what right hand was doing.
Yeah.
But he worked on he was trying to reverse engineer the propulsion device. And he said it's kind of equivalent to if you gave an iPhone to people in the Middle Ages, they just have no idea how it works. He's like, this is the same fucking thing. Not even iPhone. He used a bit different one. He's like, if you give nuclear power or a nuclear facility to somebody in the Middle Ages, they'd kill themselves because they have no idea what they're doing. And he's like, that's kind of where we were at. And he's like, I haven't seen this stuff in over 30 years. They could have figured it out. But he said this thing that it never left my mind. If they could figure out how to use gravity to propel objects with ease, oil's gone, gasoline's gone, it would grind the economy to a screeching halt. Now, would it really affect our lives? I don't know, but jobs are jobs.
Yes.
And the oil industry employs millions of people throughout the world and makes millions of dollars, and think about all the money we spend for like these things. So all your cars become obsolete overnight if they figure this out.
All the wars are over oil, basically.
No, not basically. That's just what it is now. Back in the day, it was about land. Before that, it was about vagina. And now it's just about oil.
Yeah.
Helen of Troy! A pussy so fine, you could have countries fighting over it.
Damn fine wap.
Did you watch the Grammys?
No, I did not.
People are talking shit about wet-ass pussy. They are. I prefer fucking a wet-ass pussy. I've definitely met a few women in my life where it's not quite as moist as I would prefer. I don't see that. No, for real. And I don't see those women again. I'm like, this is not fun for me, you know? Anyway, that's A. B, Cardi B, I think Cardi B is kind of scummy. There's this great meme circulating that Cardi B makes music for women who say my children are my life when the grandparents are raising the kid.
Very accurate.
That's Cardi B, right? That's her music. But Megan Thee Stallion, I might love her. I love her. I follow her on Instagram. I follow her on Facebook. I like how she raps and I love her giant fat ass. So I'm not going to lie and say I don't love Megan Thee Stallion because I do. And she dated a Caucasian. So they're saying there's a chance.
Saying there's a chance.
Just saying.
Like, I have no problem with her singing about that. If that's, you know, you sing about your experiences. If that's what it is. Listen. That's what you're singing about? I got no problem. There's a lot of old white people that have problems. All the songs.
No.
It's not
stop,
for children.
Stop. You must sing about your experiences. That's amazing. Well, that's comedy gold.
Thank you.
You're spinning podcast gold right before me. The other one, like from a few weeks ago, is we were discussing some other girl I was dating, and I was like, she could really cook. And Bill's like, listen, man. A good cook's a good cook, but in 5 years, is that bitch going to poison you? And you're like, oh my God, that's like the greatest sentence I've ever heard in my life. You got to sing about what you know, wet ass pussy. That's it. That's all you got. If that's what you do. That's what you got to sing about.
And she's making money. She's on the Grammys, so God bless her.
It's not even the Grammys anymore. There weren't people there. It's like weird.
Yeah. Oh, well.
So we're recording this on March 21st. It's officially spring in 2021.
Happy spring.
There was this whole video on Instagram of, I don't remember his name and I'm embarrassed. I should know this. It'll come to me. A senator was attacking Fauci and he was like, Senator, is there any documentation? Is there any medical evidence that people who are healthy, who get the disease, will they acquire it again? And he's like, well, you must mask up. He's like, additionally, if you take the vaccine, you're vaccinated, you can't get the disease, why are they still wearing masks?
A story just broke
overnight
about people in Hawaii. A couple people got fully vaccinated and they contracted it again.
Mm.
To the internet.
No, I hear you. But is that because he attacked Fauci? Is this
no,
like a
no,
thing?
I'm just saying.
I'm saying something. Is that story now available because he attacked Fauci? Like, think about it.
That could be
like connection. All of a sudden, who the fuck goes to Hawaii? No one goes to Hawaii. If you live in Hawaii, you live there. You know what's in Hawaii? People don't even know this. A lot of meth. Because they can't get cocaine in Hawaii. They can't get coke.
Oof.
Coke's fucking in South America. You got to go to Florida and it's got to get to Hawaii. It's in fucking Hawaii. No, and HBO did documentaries on it. That's why I'm well schooled. I've never been to Hawaii.
Oh, okay.
You just think you took
a tour.
I'm not into cocks, you know? And okay. I got to tell you, if I was, I'd be fucking Freddie Mercury gay. I just happen not to be. And I feel like the gay guys are happier than me. Because how many divorces are we talking? How many times I have to fight over in court to keep my goddamn house? Like, this is some shit. And none of the gay guys have that issue. They're just like, hey, want to fuck? Yeah. Okay, let's watch sports. Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean? But the Eagles are on. Let's hurry up and fuck. Yes. I don't have that in my life, you know? It's just, yeah. And then I date chicks. They're like, I love the Eagles. And then you try to actually talk to them, and they have no idea what's happening. They're like, what? I'm like, oh, no.
Are they getting in the cuddle again?
The huddle.
Jesus Christ.
The cuddle, Jesus.
The huddle.
That's two okay. zings in a row.
Thank you.
Philadelphia.
I'm on Beautiful. Fire today.
You are. Yeah. I don't know how the fuck we got on this tangent. The whole thing tangent. Starts with, remember the 90s?
Let's bring back flannel.
Fuck that. It is back. Oh, it's been back for years.
I am so socially inept that I have no clue.
All the hipsters, you want to look at my closet? I have them because the hipsters have them. And then I date chicks. They buy them for me. I have flannels. They're totally back. But they're really tight now. Like, tight.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're like, hello, this is my flannel. And then I'm watching hipsters who eat. All right, if you're vegan, there's a good chance you're fat because there's like it's a weird thing. They just eat a lot of weird, not, like, plant-based stuff, which doesn't circulate correctly. There's no fucking protein in their lives. So they're like these fat guys who are like 28 years old wearing flannels that are way too tight. And then they wear the winter hats in the summer. I know it sounds like we're like being ageist. I know it sounds like that, but it's fucking weird to me. Like, I remember my dad explaining to me how fucked up I look to him, and I get it. I'm 45 years old, so if I had a son who's 20, he would look like a retard to me. Not that you could say retard in 2021, but I just said it. You know why? Because it's an actual word. It's a medical term. I don't know if you know this. It isn't to put people down. Like, they can't, all right. I can't be canceled because I don't exist, Bill.
Okay.
There's no cancel culture.
Cancel proof.
Although, I do have our first sponsor.
Yeah.
So, Audio Alley, please don't cancel your sponsorship.
He's listening to this going, oh, what the fuck?
Because I said retard. He's like, God damn it. Why? Why do I sponsor this program?
You got the ad right, but then you went full retard.
And they couldn't even make that movie. You couldn't make that movie today.
You couldn't even do... There's something about Married these days.
Well, no, but Married's in the 90s, right? That's in the 2000s. Fucking Tropic Thunder is like 09 or 07 or something.
Yeah. Oh, shit, it was like 07.
Like, you couldn't see Robert Downey Jr. playing a black person on screen for 2 hours. And he was great, by the way. Like, he was like... I'm full 1969 down in my shoes, man. You're like, yes. Yes, you are. Where's your cell phone? And then Jack Black's a heroin addict the whole fucking movie, having withdrawal. The rapper guy who just took Al Pacino's name. Yo, I'm the rapper Al Pacino. You know there's someone named Al Pacino, right? Nah, man, that's me, though. No, there isn't. And then he started dating Lance Bass from Backstreet Boys, or was it NSYNC? He's NSYNC, right? I don't know.
Oh,
good movie. See, you don't even remember. You're fucking looking at me like I'm crazy. Anyway, we're talking about the 90s. Remember when Brewer was on Saturday Night Live and he had Goat Boy?
Yeah.
And Goat Boy went, remember the 80s? And that was his like fucking segment. And then Tommy Lee was on. And he's like, remember in the 80s? Yeah, that's all I have. I have no joke. That's it. That's all I got. But
we'll work on it.
Oh, Goat Boy. I heard an entire dissertation. Brewer was on Joe Rogan's podcast recently. And he discussed how working at Saturday Night Live is just like soul killing.
Yeah.
And fucks you up. And people steal your ideas. And then, yeah, it's just bad shit. And then he like threatened. He's like, I'm probably the last cast member to jump up and threaten. I was like, I'm going to fucking kill you over my fucking sketch. And then I forget his name, but I can see his face in my mind. It'll come to me. He wrote Step Brothers. He becomes like Will Ferrell's like guy post Saturday Night Live. He was the head writer back then in the 90s. And he hated Brewer. He hated him. Fuck, what's his name? They started funny.com together. McKay.
Yeah.
So it's McKay and it's fucking Step Brothers. What the fuck's his name? Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell.
I'm so old. My mind is creepy and doesn't make any sense. Yeah, so Adam McKay, I believe his name, hates Brewer and forced him off the show. And Brewer's wife was like, just quit. We have money. He's like, but no one quits Saturday Night Live. And she's like, you're miserable. Just quit. So he quit. But Brewer. Oh,
he does the best AC/DC impersonation.
He toured with fucking Metallica as the opening act for a while. Did you see that?
No, I heard about that, yeah. But I never saw it.
Good stuff.
He's hilarious, though. He is. I like him.
He's funny, right? Do you like Half-Baked? Do you like that film?
Yeah. I think everybody's required by law to like that film.
Chappelle says that if we could have read the original script before the studio fucked it all up and made it like kid, then he's like, it was so funny. He's like, it was so dark. And they made it like, you know, kid friendly. Like, that's we're going to get weed, man. Like, it's a different fucking thing. But I don't know. I just like Half-Baked for what it is. Remember when that came out? Oh my God. We were still called Leroy Spoon back then.
That's, wow.
Yeah, it's an old movie.
Long time ago.
Yes, it is. Remember, kids, go to Audio Alley in Pittman, New Jersey. Big Lou's expanded the business for all of your recording needs. Their number is 856-982-7955.
Expanded the business, shrunk the dead hooker inventory.
Oh, 50% less dead hookers on site. Do you know what Blue Chew is? Have you heard of that shit yet?
No.
Blue Chew sponsors a bunch of podcasts that I listen to. It's the affordable version of the blue pill. It's for your cat.
Okay, we got to test these now.
No, here's the problem. I did want to test and make a show about it, but when you go to bluechew.com, you got to put your credit card information in.
Fuck that.
And then they just automatically send it to you every month. I don't want
you
the fuck.
Then you got to try to cancel. No, that's a problem.
And it's chewable, and you can just eat it, and you get like a rock hard cack right away. Like it's cack. Like a fucking thing. Like, I don't know. I'm curious. Not that I don't know.
What if you have like some kind of like low blood count and you just, you know, as soon as you get hard, you pass out?
Well, that's a thing. You got to talk to a physician. That's a fucking real problem.
I would love like somebody just thinks it's a mint. They pop it, then they pass out.
Like in that film Idiocracy. Have you seen that Idiocracy film?
Yeah, a long time ago, yeah.
So in Idiocracy, they were like scientists just put all their time into making sure hair loss went away. Oh, wow. Don't do that anymore.
Sorry, that was a little loud. I didn't expect it to pop.
Your fucking water bottle. There you go. That was lovely. Click. Oh my God. As a teenager, I don't know. I loved Black Sabbath, and my dad was not a Sabbath guy. And my dad grew up.
Was he a Zeppelin guy?
No, he was old. Like, my dad was like, from like, when, all right, when Johnny Cash was young, my dad was young.
Okay.
Do that in your mind, right?
Yeah.
So that's to him was like pop music, yeah. You know? So anyway, the reason I'm saying any of this is my dad was like chastising me for doing something ridiculous. And I really thought I was British for a while there. I really did. I'm obviously not. I'm from Lithuania and I was born in the United States of America. But in my mind, I was British. And he was like, blah. And I was like, lovely. And he lost his fucking mind. He's like, lovely. Well, I'll lovely you. And I was like, what does that mean? Like, I'm 15. I was, dude. I rolled my eyes like I was a chick. I was the worst teenager in the world. I was moody. I made no fucking sense. I had an attitude problem. Like, thank God I don't have kids. I had a stepson for a while, and that marriage broke up before I became a teenager. Thank God. Because, oh my God, I don't know what I would do. I'd be like, oh yeah, you're rolling your eyes at me, and I pay for everything. And that's what my dad did. My dad paid for everything. And I'm like, hi, it's lovely. And he just got so mad. He was so fed up with me just being a dick for like 3 years. I was just a little kid.
My kid's going to be 13 this summer.
And don't envy that. You know, Puppy's kid is like pretty old now. Puppy's kid's like 15 or something. When I started this podcast, Puppy's son was 12. And Puppy was on the first couple of episodes. As you may remember, Philadelphia.
Oh, I remember.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
I'm thrilled.
And then your boy, Scruffo, who I have no fucking idea who that is, but he doesn't like me. You don't like me, do you, Scruffo? But that's fine. We've never met because my nose is in the air, isn't it? Not that I'm bitter.
Scruffo's not my boy, but...
Well, he's the one commenting on your shit about me.
Yeah, I don't talk to him anymore.
No, I like how it's segmented. Like, you're like, back then I didn't talk to Vex, I talked to Scruffo. Now Scruffo's out of my life and I'm back at Vex.
Team Vex. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm for sale.
Yeah, right.
Sidekick for sale.
Whoever's got a cheesesteak, Philadelphia's there.
I'm hungry.
You didn't like the Waffle House. I took you to the Waffle House. You didn't enjoy it.
Listen.
Don't say it was lovely.
No, it was anti-lovely. When I have to clean the table, listen, I felt bad for that lady.
It was gnarly.
It was, yeah, but there was like wet onions on my seat. And I'm like, all right, let me just get this shit and wash my
hands.
Would
you have preferred dry onions?
I don't know if there's an answer for that. Okay, I'm abstaining.
Because like, think about how long it would have to sit there on the seed for it to become a dry onion, right? At least they were fresh onions.
Crusty.
Maybe it wasn't onions at all. Maybe it was just that fucking hash brown stuff broken up. Because they looked oniony.
It was oniony. I don't like the cut of its jib. Okay?
The cut of its jib!
I did not like it.
That's three in a row today. Oh. You're on fire, Bill.
Oh, fuego.
All right. You didn't want to discuss this, and I'm not going to respect that, unfortunately.
Oh, shit! Come on!
We're going to discuss this shit right now. We're not live on Facebook.
Okay.
We were discussing Black Sabbath.
Yes.
And you asked me in the car, you said, hey, who's your favorite Sabbath singer? Which I think is a sacrilegious question.
I know, it's stupid. That's why I don't want to talk about it.
I'm an Aussie guy. No. There's 35 vocalists for Black Sabbath, so for real, you shouldn't feel bad. That's a fine question. I'll give you an example. Tony Martin, who I'm not particularly a fan of because he's weird looking, his hairline kept going back further and further and further, and now he's got my haircut, right? So Tony Martin could sing just like Dio and still do the Aussie stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that whole Gary Cherone situation. Bear with me. I promise it'll make sense. I promise.
Okay. We need a roadmap for this one. I got a feeling.
Van Halen separates from Sammy Hagar, okay? And then for 5 minutes, they're hanging out with Roth, who's the most annoying motherfucker on the planet Earth. Boozdy, boozdy, bop, skibbity, bop, which is my favorite thing to say, by the way. But that's got to get old. So they separate from him, and they wheel in Gary Cherone. Now, here's the cool part of the live footage. Gary can sing all the Sammy stuff, which is really a high register
yes.
and hard to sing. But he could sing the Dave stuff and sounded like Roth.
That's impressive.
Like, he was thin. He wasn't a drug addict. He was in good shape, and he could do both voices. It should have been a perfect fit.
Yeah.
Now, if you ask Gary Cherone, his theory as to why it doesn't go over is they should never have put an album out. They should have just went on the road.
Yeah.
And when you go see Van Halen, if you can hear Ain't Talking About Love and then Love Walks in the same fucking set, that's a good set.
Yeah, that's a win.
You know what I mean? You're like, Jamie's crying and all that fucking shit that people love those songs. And then do fucking, oh, I can't think of the name of it. The one with the piano.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What is it?
Shit. Right? I'm not... it means everything.
Yeah! What's it called?
You lose rhythm.
That's exactly the lyric.
Jesus. I hate right when I know what's...
Right now!
Let's just call it right now.
That's what it's called.
Oh, okay. Well, there
so
we go.
You can go from fucking Janie's crying to right now in the same set. And he's like, but we put the record out. And the record's good, but it's not great. It's good though. There's a song. There's like that single was really good. But he said if I could have done a tour around the world just doing the back catalog of Van Halen, I'd have won the fans over.
Oh, definitely.
And then when the album came out, it would have been a success.
There would have been support.
And it just didn't happen. So the record comes out. They tour it. It's half empty venues. But I'm telling you, all the footage, that is Eddie at his absolute motherfucker pinnacle. That's the last time he's the great Eddie Van Halen.
Okay.
Before alcoholism really fucking ravishes him. You know what I mean? Cancer and all that shit. 96, 97, 98 in that realm. He's like on fire, bro. He's on fire. And then, I don't know, they got rid of Gary and then they just went into fucking hiding forever. And they reappear with Wolfgang Van Halen, who was 14. So here's the thing. This is how you know what it is. Wolfgang turned 30 like 3 days ago. Okay, he's 30.
Jesus Christ.
He was 14 on that reunion tour.
Yeah.
Like 14 when they
That's
got back with Sammy. So that was a long time ago. What are your thoughts on Sammy Hagar?
Underrated as far as Van Halen goes because a lot of people always knock him, it seems. And now, I liked him.
He sold more records, you know.
Did he?
Yeah. The,
didn't know that.
The Sammy era outsells the Dave era almost 2-1.
No shit.
Well, there were more hits if you think about it.
There were commercial.
A lot of big, big records. And I remember, I'm trying to think of like, so the first, oh, 0812 is it? Like, dude.
Did they also do a Pepsi commercial?
That's right now.
Yeah, okay.
Pepsi Clear.
Oh my God, it was Pepsi Clear.
They launched it. That song launched it.
Oh shit.
Did you like Pepsi Clear?
I loved it.
Really?
Yeah.
No one else did. Just you.
Well, I'm an asshole. I don't know what to tell you. I love Pepsi Clear and I wish I could, like, I know they put it out a couple years ago again.
I didn't know that.
And I missed it. And now I'm like, I scour eBay and I'm like, ooh, okay, that one's from like 1986 unopened. I bet you it's still good.
What's it taste like?
It tastes like Pepsi.
So what the fuck do you care?
It's clear. I can see through it. I can see all the ingredients.
And Eddie Van Halen had this great joke. He would just carry around a giant bottle of vodka. And he's like, if you can't see through it, you don't drink it. And you're like, all right, Eddie. I think you're drunk, though.
I like that. That's a good rule to live by.
That's his fucking rule of thumb. You can't see through it, you don't drink it. Bottle of vodka. Did you ever see the fucking footage of him in his studio in like 1994, 93?
No.
It's pretty good. It was on MTV. There was this guy whose name I never remember. Remember the first host of the MTV movie show or whatever the fuck? What was it called? Ah, it doesn't matter. They had a movie. They had a movie award though, and this guy was the host of it. Was the host of it, and then he interviewed him. I'll try to send you the clip later. It's fucking awesome. And he's walking around, and he has that guitar, the fucking Frankenstrat that I'm pointing at off camera, of course. So there's the Frankenstrat and the center pickup. He's like, people are like, what's that? He's like, it's not even plugged in, bro. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, it doesn't even work, man. But I'm like, yeah, it's trade secret, you know? He's like, it doesn't. It's not even plugged in. That's pretty cool. Eddie Van Halen. I'm a big fan. I like him. At the Grammys, a lot of people have passed away because of COVID. And they gave him like his like 18 seconds or whatever. And they had him playing Eruption in the background. And Wolfgang Van Halen was offended by this. They asked Wolfgang to play Eruption live. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard that.
What were your thoughts?
I didn't read his response, so I don't have any thoughts.
He didn't feel comfortable doing it, but he's definitely upset that they didn't give him more time. And then I read the retort last night of the Grammy producer, like the guy, he did the director, producer, whatever it is for the show. He made sense. He was like, listen, a lot of people passed away. He's like, I would have rather had Wolfie come up and jam some of the music. He didn't want to, which I respect. He's like, I did what I could. But he's like, there were like 65 people that we had to like look at.
Yeah.
So I get that with coronavirus and shit. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's
fair.
It's sad that he's gone. The cool part is we're always going to have the music. That's kind of where it's at. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, that'll last forever, you know?
It really, well, you know, until we get, we bomb ourselves into fucking oblivion.
That's next year.
Is that next year?
Yeah.
Yeah,
we'll get through COVID and then we'll have World War III to look towards.
Do you think it's over? Do you think COVID's really cresting? Are we done? Like, is it going to be like, what do you think?
I'm praying that it's you know, in the final stages, but I got a feeling that we're going to have another wave or something
for real?
Stupid. Yeah, I just got a bad feeling. I mean, I'm a pessimist though, you know, like I just have a bad feeling. And listen, I'm praying I'm wrong. I want to get back to work. I want everybody to get on with their lives and just... I want music to be live again so everybody can enjoy themselves because everybody deserves it at this point.
Speaking of which, Superstar Galactico returns to live performance on Friday, April the 2nd.
What a segue. I am gold.
You are gold. Today you're spinning gold. Friday, April 2nd, Superstar Galactico will be at Bar 13 in Delaware.
Yes.
Here's the kicker. On Friday, April 23rd, the live return of Starscream for the first time in 13 months on stage, playing the Weapons LP in its entirety. Yeah, no one cares, but that's okay.
I care.
We're coming back, we're going to be playing. I'm pretty excited about it, actually. It's been a minute now.
Fucking awesome.
The side band, Superstar and us, we were on stage in September with the old guitar player before we parted ways with that gentleman, who's still a friend of mine. His name is Vince. He's a good guy.
Nice.
I don't know.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know. It's all good though. We're rocking and rolling, as they say.
Rock and or roll?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've asked you all the beginnings. Like, I was like, what was your first? What was your first this? I know more about your past, I think, than mine at this point with all the Metallica references. Here's a question. Do you remember buying yourself your first cassette tape? Like what it was? Like yourself with your own money?
Yeah, it was AC/DC. I'm not sure the title. I think it might have been Who Made Who. Remember the movie about the alien affecting all the vehicles, coming back to life and killing everybody?
Yeah.
They did the soundtrack for that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it was that album with Who Made Who on it.
No shit.
That's a great song.
That is a great song.
And then I think I also bought Tribute. You know.
Oh my God, the double record.
Time. Yeah.
Dude, Tribute, even as a kid, was so much money because it was a double cassette. So what were cassettes, like $8 back then?
Yeah.
Probably.
So I think it was like 14 bucks.
It was probably like 16 with tax and shit. I remember thinking, I was like, that's a lot of money.
Yeah,
but I had the Tribute cassette. It was good.
Just spinning back to the...
the Ozzy thing?
Yeah, the Ozzy
Sabbath thing?
The Sabbath thing. I watched a video of Dio live with them.
Now, I have a question about it. There's two incarnations of it. At the end of his life, they had a tour as the name Heaven and Hell.
Yeah.
Was it that one?
No. This was from like 1980.
Okay. They were awesome.
Neon Nights was the one song that stood out.
Yeah.
And I just thought like, okay, Ozzy is obviously the best singer, but I think that Dio was a suitable replacement.
Technically, Dio's a better vocalist than Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah.
Like that's a fact.
And the lyrics were pretty damn solid. And their playing was still up to par, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Now, who was another one of their singers? Gilmour?
Briefly.
Yeah, I'm not.
Gillen.
Okay, see, I'm not familiar with him.
You know what? Hold on a second. I'm going to pause this, and we're going to get a list, and then we'll come back and we'll discuss it. Give me one second, guys. Thank you for your patience. We now resume episode number 81 of the Vex on Vex podcast. I found a quick article online. This says the greatest Black Sabbath singers, and they're listed in not order of being in the band, but in like from number one to like number five or whatever.
Excellent.
Number one with a bullet, Ozzy Osbourne. John Michael Ozzy Osbourne, born December 3rd, 1948, is also known as the Prince of Darkness. So Ozzy's the guy because he's the first solid decade of Black Sabbath.
Yes.
The record comes out on February 13th, 1970, and by 79, he's gone. But the band was around in like 67, 68, so yeah. he was over 10 years he's in the fucking band. Number two, this is a viewer poll, is that Ronnie James Dio is the second best vocalist.
Fair enough.
And has two times where he's in the band. I don't know if you know this, in 80 he's in, and then in 90 he's back in.
Okay.
Steven, your old singer, and I went to see that tour.
How was it?
You know, I'm an Aussie guy, right?
Okay.
Listen to this fucking... Or I'm sorry. More tangents in the Vex world, because Vex can't stay on fucking subject. Ozzy Osbourne comes out with No More Tears, which is a great record. I love it. And he goes on tour, and he says, listen, I'm retiring. I'm fucking 43 years old. I'm done, right? And he goes and
that
he does...
That was a lie.
Well, he didn't know. He thought he was done. So he did a fucking... He calls it a theaters tour. And I bought a t-shirt. The theater tour. So I saw Zakk Wylde, Ozzy Osbourne, Geezer Butler on bass.
No,
it wasn't Geezer. I'm a liar. Oh. Mike Inez from Alice in Chains on bass.
Oh, yeah.
And then the drummer is Randy Castillo.
Okay.
And they played the Tower fucking Theater.
Oh, that is a nice spot.
And the cool part about the Tower is, no matter where you're at, you could throw a fucking stone and hit Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, like I've worked there many times.
You
love
know.
It.
Great venue. So this is where I see Ozzy. That was my first Ozzy concert.
That is amazing.
Never topped ever, by the way. Great concert. Fucking 6 months later, 3 months later, Sabbath's coming through. And Steve's like, we got to go. And the reason we went, the opening act is supposed to be Danzig. And I wasn't,
really?
I didn't want to support Sabbath with Dio. I wanted to see Danzig. And we get there. Oh, this is another fucking thing. Every concert I went to for about 4 years, Prong opened it. Every single.
Snap your fingers, snap your neck.
I fucking, and I would watch Prong's hair shrink every time I saw them.
Now
they're getting grungy, and I was like, fuck you, Prong. I hate Prong so much. And I saw them 100 times, and I'm like, just let me see. So instead of fucking going to see the midget.
Malone.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to see, right? Glenn Danzig. I get Prong again. So there I am watching Prong again, and I'm like, I hate Prong. And then Sabbath comes out. And I'm looking at Dio, and it's in the Tower Theater, man. Tony Iommi, Geezer fucking Butler, not Bill Ward on drums.
Mm.
It was the American guy. Apice, depending on what's... Not Carmine.
He's really good, though.
There's two of them. There's two brothers. So
Vinny and Carmen?
Yeah, so Vinny's the one who was in Sabbath.
Okay.
So Vinny's there, because he was friends with Dio, for back in the day. So I see them in like 1991, and it wasn't Sabbath to me. I was like upset because Ozzy's Sabbath to me.
Okay.
And the Ozzy show was so good. But I saw them in the same fucking venue, like a few months apart. So my point is, in 80, Dio resurrects Sabbath from the fucking basement. They're like rolling fucking heavy, dude. They come out Heaven and Hell, huge record. Mob Rules, huge record. They make the live record. And the theory was, or the story for a long time, was that while they were mixing it, during the day, Dio would go in and him and the drummer would turn the vocals and the drums up. And then he'd go home. And then at night, Tony Iommi would come in with Geezer Butler and they turn everything down, the guitars and the bass up. And this was the fighting, and he left the band. And Geezer came out very recently, which I think I said on like two episodes of the podcast ago, and he said no. They offered him a huge record deal because he'd come out with us, and we had such big hits that they were like, hey, let's make our own album for Dio, and he took the $1 million, and then he got fucking Campbell from fucking Def Leppard fame now. What's his name? Fuck. I'm sorry.
Vivian Campbell, that guy?
Yeah, Vivian, exactly. Listen to that noise you're making into the microphone.
I didn't realize that was that close, my bad.
It's okay. I was just fucking with you. So Vivian Campbell and him, and that's the Dio run. You know what I mean? That's like Rainbow in the Dark, all that shit. So going down the list, and this is, again, not date order, but so far it is. The third singer is Ian Gillan. So here's what it is. This is what it says. Born Again is the most underrated Black Sabbath album. Ozzy is not even on the same planet as far as talent goes compared to Dio and Ian. He blows live. And throwing buckets of water and being well-liked doesn't make you a great singer. I disagree with that. He was a great frontman, but a mediocre singer. I don't know. Here's the problem with Ian. He couldn't do Black Sabbath live. Yeah. Like the song, and he would put, he couldn't do Paranoid. So yeah. He would put pieces of paper on the stage with the lyrics. So it didn't work.
Yeah.
So he's in the band for 5 minutes. And then they get Tony Martin. Now, you don't know who Tony Martin is.
No.
But the joke for me is, he, this is what it says. Tony is definitely the best singer Black Sabbath has ever had. His performance in Headless Cross was incredible, and he should have gained more popularity. I got to be honest. He's operatic. The guy can still really sing. He could do all the Dio stuff, and then he would do the Ozzy stuff, which is the Gary Cherone situation I was talking about earlier. Yeah. Gary could do the best of both worlds.
So is Tony Martin from other bands that I should look into?
No. He was just a dude in England banging around.
No shit.
I mean, he's got other bands now, probably called like Headless Cross or something. That was the name of the record, but he wasn't like somebody.
Kind of like a Ripper Jones situation where nobody knew about him, but then...
Yeah, I don't know. Ripper, yeah, no. But here's the thing. No, you know why it's not in my opinion?
Okay.
Ripper was making a living trying to be Halford.
Covering band.
Like literally like trying to be Halford. Like, and he loved Halford. Tony Martin wasn't. He was just a great singer.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And he got the gig.
Fair enough.
Then, I don't know if you know this, Rob Halford fronted Sabbath a couple times.
Did not know that.
In Philadelphia.
That's what?
At Camden. 1 year on Ozfest, Ozzy got sick. And they were like, we don't know what we're going to do. And Rob Halford, like, I guess that year they had fucking, Priest was on the tour. And Rob Halford's like, I'll do it, mate. There's a live DVD of it.
That's fucking amazing.
It is amazing. Now, Halford might be the guy, in theory, or possibly, or could have raped Janie Lane.
Yeah.
That could be the guy who did it. But Rob Halford's a great fucking singer. Then there's Glenn Hughes. Glenn Hughes is an English rock bassist and vocalist, best known as a member of the band Deep Purple and the rock pioneers Trapeze. And his solo career. Hughes was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a member of Deep Purple. He is acclaimed for his wide vocal range. Now, Glenn really can sing. Like, to this day, he can still hear those fucking notes. He's the baddest bass player. And he was in it for a minute, but they were all on drugs and it didn't really work out. Then there's Ray Gillen, right? So we went from number three was Ian Gillen.
Yes.
And now there's Ray Gillen.
What's that, his stepbrother?
Ronnie and Ray were on another level. Tony, Ian, and Glenn were on the next. Everyone else was cut rate. That's what they're saying. There's not much.
Wow. Yeah. Jesus.
So I don't know. I don't know.
Ozzy is like one of the founding members.
Oh.
And his lyrics were... Oh, Jesus. That just pisses me off.
Then there's a guy named Dave Welker. Dave Welker done a good job with his short stint with the band in 78, and they like his version of Junior's Eyes. So when Ozzy left in 78 for the Blizzard of Oz, this was the guy. But then Ozzy came back, and they made Don't ever say die. Yeah. Never, never, never say die again. Sorry.
Nice.
Bill Ward. I forgot this. There's a song Bill Ward sang on fucking Technical Ecstasy.
Really?
William Thomas Bill Ward is an English musician and visual artist, best known as the original drummer for the British heavy metal band Black Sabbath. The only song that Guns N' Roses ever covered from fucking Black Sabbath is called It's All Right, and Bill Ward is the one who sang that song.
Oh, no shit.
You never heard that?
I've heard the Guns N' Roses version, but never the Sabbath.
David Donato. David Donato was with the band around 6 months in 1984.
A cup of coffee.
And sang on a few demos, one being No Way Out, which had a memorable riff of Iommi's that didn't see the light of day until 1987 on Eternal Idol, which song changed, I don't know, anyway. Ron Keel, I didn't know about this. Ron Keel sang with Black Sabbath? Okay. Oh, maybe not. Okay. Did you know Eric Singer was in Black Sabbath, the current drummer of Kiss?
No.
So check this out. Tony Iommi is banging Lita Ford in the 80s.
Of course.
And her, of course. Yeah. And then her drummer in the 80s is Eric Singer.
Yeah.
And Eric's like, oh, Tony, can I join Black Sabbath? Because I don't really like being in this band. You know, they like suck. And he's like, yeah, mate, come be in Sabbath.
Nice.
And so for a few days, he was in Black Sabbath.
That's awesome.
There was a record that Tony was making around 85 that was supposed to be a solo record. And he was in the studio and he's cutting the record. And the record company's like, can you just like call it a Black Sabbath record? Because like no one knows your name and stuff. And he's like, there's like 12 different singers on it. They're like, no, it's fine. But just call it a Black Sabbath record. That would be awesome. And they did. And there's a couple of videos. And it's weird because Tony was so strung out on drugs at this time. This is like 86, 87.
Oh, Christ.
That you can see in the videos that his hair is starting to turn gray. And he's wearing like leather with the fringe. Like, he looks like he's a Bon Jovi knockoff.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking pretty bad. And that in her book, Lita Ford said he was beating the shit out of her. He'd get drunk and be like, shut the fuck up! And like knock her in. For real.
Oh, that sucks. Joan Jett would have kicked his ass.
No, Joan was tiny. Joan is tiny.
Yeah, but she's a pit bull.
Yeah, is she? I don't know. She's like a sick old lady now.
I think she's a fighter.
Again, though, in Lita Ford's memoir, Tony Iommi's beating the shit out of her. Like, it's fucking gnarly. And she really loved him, too. She's had a rough one. Like, I don't know, man. What are your thoughts on The Runaways?
I started watching the Netflix special on them the other day.
I didn't even know there was one.
Yeah, there is one. You got to, like, look through everything to find it, but it's pretty good. But, like, all-star lineup. Like, Jesus Christ. No. I didn't realize everybody was in that band.
What do you mean?
Lita and Joan Jett.
That's
and,
it. That's it.
No, the singer was...
No, she married a fucking actor in the 80s. She didn't do a fucking thing after that.
I thought she was a producer.
Cherry Curry? No. You know what she really became? She does chainsaw with wood. She makes like sculptures out of wood and chainsaws.
That's pretty cool.
Is it? I don't know.
I like it.
But there's this actor. I think she married the guy from Airplane. Remember the movie Airplane?
Yeah, yeah.
She married that guy.
Yeah.
They had kids and shit.
But as two guitarists in one band go, I mean, that's pretty good.
Lita has a career. I met Lita at a horror convention. I met Lita Ford and fucking Steven Adler at the same convention.
That's pretty cool.
Steven Adler's so tiny, bro.
Really?
He's really nice. Remember how nice Johnny Zero is?
Yes.
That's what Steven Adler's like.
No shit.
Hey, man, what's up? Like, you're just like, I know you're on heroin, but goddamn, you're nice.
Was Lita cool? She seems like she'd be okay.
She was okay. I didn't meet her. She was just there. You know what I mean? Really tiny.
Yeah.
So small in person. Really thin, really short, not a big, like, little girl.
Yeah.
Good guitar player. It's weird. There's this Dee Snider story. He was on the road with Twisted Sister, and they're talking to Lita Ford, and he's like, Lita, you're a really great guitar player. You don't have to do all this sex shit. Like, you're just cool. Just be you. And she's like, you're right, man. And he said he turned on the TV 6 months later, and she was on all fours licking a giant ice cube. And he's like, oh, I guess actually not an ice cube. What's it called? A glacier? Like an ice glacier. And she's on all fours, whisking their pants, licking. And he's like, she's not listening to anything I say. Do you know who her manager was?
No.
Sharon Osbourne.
Of course.
And Close My Eyes Forever was Ozzy. I remember being a little kid when that came out. It was 89. So close your eyes, right? That came out the summer of 89.
That video was awesome.
It was. The same time that Batman came out with Michael Keaton.
Okay.
They came out at the same time. So I was like really into like the whole Ozzy thing. And I remember all of my friends, we were like 12, were all like, yeah, man, he's definitely fucking her, man. I know his wife's the manager, but when she's not there, he's fucking Lita. He's fucking Ozzy, man. He's fucking Lita, man. Yeah, we don't know fucking anything.
When we were kids, we all loved, I went to a party last Saturday night. I didn't get laid, but I got in a fight.
Uh-huh, that ain't no big thing. Yeah, and that's the video where she's crawling on all fours, is licking it? The ice cube.
I just, like,
it's my great song.
The cassette,
it's a great song.
I'd sing it in school.
I bought Lita. You know, I remember going to a school dance when I was a little kid, and Quiet Riot had just covered Come On and Feel the Noise.
Oh, my God.
And it was like, girls rock your boys, and they would yell, girls, fuck your boys. I'm like, ooh, they said, fuck, that's amazing. And that was the extent
mind
of my childhood. Blown, right? Do you remember the first time you heard fuck? Do you remember hearing that?
Mm.
You're like, you're humming. You're like,
let's see. I don't remember. I do not recall.
My parents had sent me to a campground. We were there, obviously. All right. This is a quick story because the hour's almost over. So this is a quick story. my dad liked to drink. Whoa, there's something on my mic. Ew. Anyway, he liked to drink. So his coworkers would go to this campground in Jersey where you park your car. Everybody would get shit-faced the entire fucking weekend. And you had a camper. And there was there were two giant in-ground pools for the kids. There was a whole staff. There was a place for an arcade. There was like, it was pretty modern for the
That's 80s. Awesome.
And I remember going there like every summer for like 5 years. And like the kids in my neighborhood were just kids. And then I went there and there were little kids saying, fuck you, suck my dick. And I'm just like, oh my God, what am I expecting? Opposed to. I was being very, very upset. They were gnarly. They would say the most fucked up things. These Jersey kids were scum. That's all I'm going to say. They were some scummy fucking kids. Not a fan.
I remember the first time I said it. I was 12 and we were playing wiffle ball out back. And I thought a hit was a home run and they ruled it a treble. And I threw the bat down. I was like, fuck. And everybody turned around. Went, what?
I remember the first time.
Your mom.
Yeah, I remember the first time I said it. There was this kid in the neighborhood that I hated. He was like, he was kind of effeminate and really mean and little. And like, I was bigger.
Danzig?
Yeah. But he was like effeminate. And he was such a piece of shit. And he was just like, one day I'm like, fuck you. And it came out of me like hot fire, right? And I just felt this giant release. I apologized to him immediately. I was like, I'm so sorry that I said that. I didn't mean that. And he's like, I don't care. Fuck you too. But like, I was just like, I was like, the power of the word fuck compels you. Like, it was amazing. And then I said it and I just kept saying it over and over and over
again.
That
is to fund your life.
For the final time, ladies and gentlemen, this has been episode number 81 of the Vex on Vex podcast. We are currently sponsored by Audio Alley in Pittman, New Jersey. Big Lou has expanded the business. Give them a call at 856-982-7955. The Vex on Vex podcast is available for download everywhere the podcasts are heard under the Loud and Loaded Network and featured on the Podbean application on your phone. Philadelphia, thank you for your time.
Thank you once again.
This is VexX telling you to stay frosty.